There's 94% less water available to people in Gaza since the start of the war there, and it's having a dire impact on health and sanitation. That's according to a new report by Oxfam, who claims Israel has systematically weaponized water against Palestinians. Before we came on air, I spoke to Oxfam's Bushra Khalidi in Ramallah.
Well, I mean, it all started after Minister Gallant's statements and the Israeli war cabinet's decision to cut off the Mikarot lines to Gaza on the 9th of October, which are the main supply lines to Gaza of water that Gaza purchases from Israel before 7th of October. And this already, before 7th of October, there was already not enough water in Gaza, and it was already 97%. You know, not potable. But Gaza also produces its own water. It has its own wells, and it has its own desalination plants. And through analysis of these, the production inside Gaza, plus the cutting off of the Mikarot lines, and some of which were turned back on to some degree of quantity, we have noticed that Gaza's residents have only been surviving on basically less than 5 liters of water per person per day.
When you say Israel has systematically weaponized water against Palestinian, have they focused on the systems that produce water inside the country too?
So it starts with the shutting off of the Mikarot lines, and then we looked at the destruction of infrastructure. So we have destruction of infrastructure that is just widespread. It's plummeted by 85.4%. I mean, Gaza's water production inside Gaza plummeted by 84% because of the destruction and because of the restrictions on fuel and essential parts. And we have the main laboratories, for example, that were destroyed, big desalination plants that were destroyed, big water reservoirs that were destroyed. So, you know, that is a pattern of systematic that we have identified in our analysis.
Today, what's the impact on people, on civilians on the ground?
I mean, it's absolutely dire. I have my colleagues and my friends there. From what people are saying, everybody has, there's one person at least in every home that has hepatitis A, jaundice. But unfortunately, we're unable to really have a real assessment of this because, one, we don't have access. Two, hospitals are unable to receive, you know, normal treatment for jaundice, hepatitis, and these small diseases. The impact is waterborne diseases. It means that, you know, we could have a cholera outbreak. And there will be, you know, there's already a health crisis in Gaza. And they've fallen severely ill from these waterborne diseases that are absolutely preventable with sufficient, you know, water and safe sanitation.
The data in your report is up to May 26th. Has there been much change since then?
Well, I mean, you know, in the last 2 weeks, it's been some of the deadliest weeks for Gaza since the beginning of the war. So, yes, we expect that the numbers are much worse. But unfortunately, we don't have access to the updated numbers past that.
But while you say Israel has systematically weaponized water against Palestinians, at the start of this month, the Israeli Defense Forces connected power to a desalination plant near Han Yunus to provide additional drinking water for people. It says this is a step taken to support humanitarian efforts, prevent contamination and outbreaks of disease. So this doesn't suggest the systematic weaponization of water, does it?
Well, after 9 months of doing that, and that's just one small area of Gaza. Gaza is very big and there's 2.2 million people. One desalination plant, you know, will serve a few hundred thousand people, but it doesn't serve 2.2 million people. We're talking about we want full restoration of services of all Mikarot lines. We need also, you know, the problem is not just that. It's that fuel is restricted. You need fuel to run those plants. You need fuel to run those wash pump stations. And finally, you need wash parts, spare parts. Our own wash infrastructure, Oxfam, and wash response that we're trying to get into Gaza has been pending for 5 months in Egypt because we can't get those, for example, latrines in and spare parts in and fittings in. We got a pre-clearance for spare parts, but we don't have pre-clearance for fittings. How can we build without both, you know, both supplies? So, you know, it's the consistent obstruction to access to water. That is a very welcome step, and we're very happy to hear. We heard it yesterday, but that's not enough. It does not cover the level of need we're talking about.
It's not enough. What is Oxfam calling for?
Well, absolutely, an immediate and permanent ceasefire. We can't repair, we can't build infrastructure without a permanent ceasefire, because that would stop the ongoing destruction and would actually allow humanitarian aid. We're also asking for an end to the blockade and an end to the siege that Israel has imposed on Gaza for the last 17 years, but also since 9th of October. And we're asking for accountability. The international community needs to support independent investigations into potential violations of international humanitarian law. And we need to ensure accountability so that, you know, the culture of impunity is not fostered. And finally, we need to, you know, support to reconstruct and be built. There's an international responsibility here to uphold justice, human rights, and prevent further suffering of Gaza. And everybody has a duty and obligation under that.
Oxfam's Bushra Khalidi speaking to us from Ramallah there.